It's Tuesday, January 5th, 2016, and here are the stories we're covering this week. Perhaps unsurprisingly, Facebook's free internet service has come under fire, and Mark Zuckerberg isn't happy about it. 10% of web access to Google services are done through IPv6 connections, marking a milestone in the migration from IPv4. You might be surprised to learn who the number one country is that's making the switch. And I'll give you a hint, not the U.S. I think if you think you're going to add a VR headset to your gaming rig this year, NVIDIA claims that less than 1% of PCs can actually run virtual reality. And Google's Project Sunroof tells homeowners if solar panels are cost-effective. Also, there's new research into biological 3D printing, which may lead to body parts being printed and grown from human cells in only a couple of months, which is totally awesome. And the U.S. military has shelved Google's robot dog plans because Spot's just too darn loud. These stories are coming right up, so don't go anywhere.
You've got mad skills. Now, hone them. Learn new skills or improve your existing ones with online video tutorials and training from lynda.com through our special link at cat5.tv/lynda. Learn software, technology, creative, and business skills you can use today to help you achieve your professional goals. Join today and start learning. We'll give you this chance to try it absolutely free with unlimited access to all of the courses. Sign up now for free, cat5.tv/lynda.
I'm Jeff Weston. Here are the top stories from the category5.tv newsroom. Mark Zuckerberg is feeling the force of critics who believe his effort to provide Indians with free access to a limited number of internet services hurts India's democracy and violates net neutrality. Try saying that 10 times real fast. In an unusually pugnacious appeal in the Mass Circulation Times of India, the Facebook founder forcefully defended introducing his free basic service, a set of basic internet services for education, healthcare, jobs, and communication that people can use without paying for data. Sorry, India, Farmville is not included in that. Facebook, Mr. Zuckerberg says, has already launched the service in partnership with more than 35 mobile operators in more than 30 countries. He says more than 15 million people have already come online because of the service. The data is clear, he says. Free basics is a bridge to the full internet and digital equality. So, in a tone which many say mocks critics, Mr. Zuckerberg, that's the second time I've called him Zuckerberg. What is up? Anyway, Mr. Zuckerberg asks, who could possibly be against this? Surprisingly, over the last year, there's been a big debate about this in India. According to the BBC, many believe that Mr. Zuckerberg possibly expected a cakewalk with free basics and is now irate at being stonewalled by critics who are not convinced about his motives. Maybe they heard about his whole Jarvis scenario for his house and they think there's ulterior motives there. Yesterday, he lashed out against his critics for continuing to spread false claims. Imagine that, social media with false claims. He wrote, instead of recognizing the fact that free basics is opening up the whole internet, they continue to claim falsely that this will make the internet more like a walled garden.
Doesn't it feel like you're stepping back in time just a little bit? So to be honest with you, it feels like, remember when internet first came out and there was some separation between services, and then he's creating something that is free, so it's got its place. I'm sure it's helpful to some people, but when it's not connected to everything, who it's not the real, it's not really the internet, is it? It's like AOL.
Well, yeah, or like a really massive days, Wikipedia, considering the kind of stuff that's on there. But the thing I don't get is, I mean, I know a bunch of people from around the globe, and it seems that other than in Canada, everybody has really cheap cell phones with unlimited data. Like, I've got a friend in Africa, and he's like, dude, for $20 a month, I have unlimited data on my phone. I get access to everything. Now, granted, that's conversion to be $20, but does India not have cheap cell phone rates with data? Or, like, I don't know. I guess there's a need for it somewhere, but I don't know. He's going for it. So, anyway, efforts to convert net users to a new addressing scheme have hit a key milestone. The novel scheme is needed to help the net support more users and many more smart devices and gadgets. Now more than 10% of net users are visiting websites using the new system, statistics suggest. It's not called statistics suggest, I just paused incorrectly there. Called IPv6, the protocol replaces an older version whose pool of addresses is almost depleted. The figures were gathered by search giant Google, which monitors how people reach its services. The adoption of IPv6 around the world is patchy, as some nations have deployed it widely while others have ignored it. Belgium tops the table of most enthusiastic IPv6 adopters, as 44.3% of the people in the country can use it to get at Google and other IPv6 sites. Adoption in the US is 25.6 and the UK 2.95. NVIDIA says less than 1% of PCs expected to be in use globally in 2016 will be powerful enough to run the best virtual reality technology. It's estimated just 13 million would have the required graphics capabilities in 2016, raising to 100 million by 2020.
Which may not be exactly as shown. That's fantastic.
Consumers can access VR on smartphones and consoles, but need PCs to use high-end headsets such as the Oculus Rift. Sounds like something from Harry Potter, some spell or something. Some forecasts have suggested 2016 could be the year virtual reality finally takes off, and VR companies feature prominently at the 2016 Consumer Electronics Show, which opened in Las Vegas yesterday. VR headsets create immersive 3D environment where you can interact with and explore. But despite growing excitement about their potential, they have yet to reach a wider consumer audience. However, providers such as Facebook, Oculus, and HTC are preparing to ship their first headsets by spring. NVIDIA warns, however, that immersive VR requires 7 times the graphics processing power compared to traditional 3D applications and games. So if you plan to add a VR headset to your gaming rig, pay special attention to the specs of your hardware. You may need to upgrade your graphics card or other peripherals to achieve silky smooth gameplay. What would be the purpose of such crazy VR if you have to spend that kind of money?
Fun.
Games,
all right,
movies.
That just sums it up right there.
Think about having a headset and in front of you is a 100-inch TV, but meanwhile it doesn't exist. But also some of the demos that especially Microsoft has been getting into the augmented reality.
Yes.
So that kind of stuff I think has a place. And it's certainly an interesting way to game.
It's true, but I don't know.
Maybe it's antisocial.
Maybe I'm just budget conscious, but do people have the kind of money for that kind of stuff? Like, if you need 7 times the power, you got to have a pretty big disposable income. I don't know. It's just my thoughts. I'm going to go back to my Commodore 64. The company that lets you compare airfares and translate foreign language online wants to make it easier to weigh the costs and benefits of installing solar panels on household rooftops. Google's rolling out a new online service that quickly tallies up considerations of going solar and whether homeowners should consider buying or leasing solar panels costing thousands of dollars. Google's Project Sunroof combines the eye in the sky images behind Google Earth and calculates on how much shade trees cast over a rooftop, data on local weather patterns, industry pricing, and available subsidies to arrive at its bottom line. Carl Elkin, the senior software engineer behind the service, says, "We at Google believe in solar energy. The solar industry needs our help." The service expanded in December to analyze properties in the Raleigh area, as well as 15 other metro areas in Arizona, Nevada, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, and Colorado. While I think this is cool, as I'm reading it, I'm thinking, Google knows way too much about where I live and what my trees are doing.
And how much I pay for my hydro. That is kind of cool, though. You got to admit that it shows kind of a heat map of where the sun hits the brightest. So also, as you're installing the product, if you decide to go that route, you know exactly where would be the best roof.
Yeah.
That's true. Although generally, I just go outside and go, oh, look, sun, east, west. That's the spot on my roof. There's no trees. I'm good.
Not sure that's quite as accurate as a heat map. But I hear what you're saying. Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's kind of funny. And what happens if they take the picture in the winter when there's no leaves on the trees?
They don't have winter in California.
That's true. Winter doesn't exist down there.
That's true, I suppose. All right. Patients needing surgery to reconstruct body parts such as noses and ears could soon have treatment using cartilage, which has been grown in a lab. The process involves growing someone's cells in an incubator and then mixing them with a liquid, which is 3D printed into the jelly-like shape needed. Wow. It's then put back in an incubator to grow again until it's ready. Researchers in Swansea hope to be among the first in the world to start using it on humans within 3 years. The researchers say, we're trying to print biological structures using human cells and provide the right environment and the right timing so it can grow into tissue that we can eventually put into a human. It would be able to reconstruct lost body parts such as a part of the nose or the ear and ultimately large body parts including bone, muscle, and vessels. The team of surgeons are working with scientists and engineers who have built a 3D printer specifically for this work. And I'm thinking Fifth Element. Is that the one where they rebuild bones?
I don't know, but I think it's super cool.
It's very cool.
I can't believe it's only 3 years off.
I know. And we still haven't figured out the flying DeLorean. Lightsabers.
Although
we're working on it.
My next thing is that we could create the Vision from Avengers. Like, that could be, like, down the road. Eventually, we could create an entire human.
That's what we're working on?
That's what it could become. Because they're making, you know, they're basically making everything. It could make, like, another human.
And here we have Kelsey trying to make humans obsolete. Yes. Wonderful. Next thing you know, we're going to have an episode on a Raspberry Pi human.
Ooh, we're going to build our own human today, folks. We got a 3D printer and a Raspberry Pi. It's all you need to build another Kelsey.
The U.S. Speaking of replacements, the U.S. Army says that its mothballed plans to deploy a robot developed in conjunction with Google because it's too loud. We're talking about Spot, the legged squad support system referred to by some as the big dog. It's capable of carrying 400 pounds, or for those of you that like kilograms, 181.4 kilos of equipment over rugged terrain. But the U.S. Marines now say its petrol-powered engine is too noisy for them to use in battle. The LS-3 was developed by Boston Dynamics, a robotics firm acquired by Google in 2013. The robot can follow troops on foot through rugged terrain carrying their gear. It can also interpret verbal and visual commands. However, after a major field trial in 2014, flaws in the robot also became apparent. The military took it as it was a loud robot that's going to give away their position. The machine, which has a gas-powered engine, is said to emit a lawnmower-like noise that would be unviable in combat situations. It's also difficult to repair, making it less than ideal for field use. Google has said as far back as 2013 that it planned to move away from its military contracts, which it inherited as part of its acquisition of the company. So big thanks to Roy W. Nash and our community of viewers for submitting stories to us. If you found a news story you'd like to send, email it to newsroom@category5.tv. For all your tech news with a slight Linux bias, visit the category5.tv newsroom at newsroom.category5.tv. For the category5.tv newsroom, I'm Jeff Weston.